bringing healing and reducing the fever and all the aches and the pains, Lord. We continue to lift up Mary Bentley, who was released from the hospital last week, Lord, and still recovering, that you'd be with her. And Father, for the service this morning, this early service, Father, we just thank you and give you praise and honor, Lord, for your word, your care for us. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. We pray over our nation, Lord, and all the countries that are affected again by the horrible hurricanes and so forth, but especially for our nation, Lord. We pray for that division to cease and peace to ensue. Lord, bless us this morning now. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to John's Gospel. We're going to start chapter 10 this morning. We're going to talk about the Good Shepherd, or our Good Shepherd. This is part one of a message. And we left off last Sunday with the healing of the man born blind from his birth, and which was one of the sixth of the seven signs of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And remember that the blind man, after Jesus healed him, he was cast out, or literally excommunicated from the synagogue and so forth. In other words, no longer could he ever set foot in the synagogue or the temple. His family, his parents, had to shun him. No one could help him, employ him, and so forth. In other words, 3 hours after he received his sight, he was all alone, and no one could even help him. And it says that Jesus found him. Oh, how wonderful to know that our Good Shepherd seeks and saves those who are lost. Amen. And it says that he believed in him in John chapter 9. And what is so wonderful, there he is alone with Jesus, and it says that he worshiped him. Can you imagine having only Jesus there and just yourself, and you're worshiping him and him only? That's exactly what occurred at that time. Now, chapter 10 is literally a continuation of chapter 9. It is the same day, the incidents that are occurring that we've already studied, and we left off, remember, with Jesus condemning the Pharisees, telling that they were blind to their own spiritual condition and that they would remain in their sin because they had rejected the only one who came to save them, and that is Jesus the Messiah. We come now to a couple of more of the I am statements of Jesus. I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world. Now we come to that I am the door and I am the good shepherd. Say that with me. I am the good shepherd. All of my ministry years, when I have stood in the pulpit, I've always opened with God is good. Amen? God is so good. And you know, Alexander McLaren, a great, great expositor of God's word, said this about our text this morning. He said, I am the good shepherd. No preaching can do anything but weaken and dilute the force of such words. And yet, though in all their sweet and homily simplicity, they appeal to every heart. I pray that they appeal to your heart this morning and that our hearts are open to this great truth that we indeed have the Good Shepherd. Amen? Beginning in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus again opens up. Now remember, he is continuing here. He's speaking to the religious rulers, okay? There's not a break between 9 and 10. And so he uses that word that we've studied over and over, most assuredly, or amen and amen. Remember that word, most assuredly, when he speaks it, it means, some translations are truly, truly, or verily, verily, but literally it means that this is sure, this is certain, this is immutable, this is absolutely infallible truth. Jesus says to the religious rulers, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold, and he tells us how, by the door, meaning faith in me, Jesus we know is the door, but climbs up another way or some other way to get into the sheepfold, is literally a what? A thief and a robber. Now remember, a sheepfold, which we're going to talk about in detail in just a moment, is where all the sheep were put into the pen at night, or maybe there on the countryside and so forth. But when he's speaking to the religious rulers, he's speaking as Israel as the sheepfold right here in verse 1. So the religious rulers, he's looking at them, and they don't know that he's talking about them, but he says, you're a thief. And you know what a thief does. A thief steals in secret, but then he calls him a robber, one that openly robs and abuses, maybe even violently takes what you have. So that's what Jesus is calling them. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and I love this, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep. In other words, calls them out from other flocks. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Here, there's many different ways we can look at this. He's leading his sheep out of Judaism, okay? Remember the blind man. Religion rejected him. The Pharisees rejected him, but Jesus embraced him, amen? You know, religion can never help you, never. All that religion can do is say, you see me, add up to me, act like me, look like me, and if you don't, then you don't fit in. No, we don't have religion here, amen? We have a relationship with the living God. And so that sheepfold here, it says the doorkeeper opens and so forth. So the sheepfold, if it was in the country, it was a walled enclosure, and it was just so high, for example. And then at night, all the sheep were put into the pen for safety. But each village had a sheep pen or a sheep fold where at night all the shepherds would come in from the field and they would put all of their sheep in this, all the different sheep, I should say, from the different shepherds into the sheep fold. And so they did that for they'd be protected. And then they did something. So they could get a good night's sleep. They would hire a hireling, if you will, or the doorkeeper or the porter, whichever translation you may have there. And they would hire them, and they would go and they would rest the night and sleep. And in the morning, they would all arise and all the shepherds would get together, come to the sheepfold, the sheep pen, and then they would do something. They would call their sheep out by name. Now that is unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, think about that. And you know, I mean, I was looking at yesterday at the world's oldest sheep. Just passed away a few years ago. His name was Lucky. He lived. What a name for a sheep! Hey, Lucky. It's better than Stinky, right? He lived for 23 years, which is twice the life expectancy of a sheep. And so he was the world's oldest sheep here. And so in the morning they would call out all of the sheep, and if you study out in your history, biblical history about the shepherds back then, it's interesting that it was very common for them to give, you know, their sheep names. Names because they literally lived with them, and the sheep loved them, and they loved the sheep. They were their protectors, and they would, the sheep, as we already know, as we get to the moment, they won't follow a stranger's voice. They'll only follow the shepherd's voice. So it says in verse 4, and when he brings them out, or literally leads his own sheep out, he goes before him. That's what shepherds do, by the way. And the sheep what? Follow him. And here's the reason. For they know his voice. Yet they will by no means, absolutely not, follow a stranger, but he will run or flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which Jesus spake unto them. Now, if you have the King James Version, you'll probably notice in verse 6 that it says Jesus spoke this parable. There are no parables in the Gospel of John. So here, this is an allegory. This is an illustration that Jesus is using. Now, you know, the thing about sheep is this. You know, loved one, in all sincerity, there are only two voices in the world, really. Amen? There's the voice of our good shepherd, and then there is, if you're a sheep, and then there is the voice of the stranger. And, you know, the thing is that true shepherds always lead the sheep. They don't beat the sheep and all of that. They lead the sheep. They go before them. They're the shepherd. The sheep follow them. And the reason that true shepherds do that is because true sheep truly follow. Amen? See, what did Jesus tell us in John 8:12? He said, you know what? I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, he who comes after me, there's our shepherd. He's in front of us. We're the sheep of his pasture. Here we go. We're keeping our eye on the shepherd, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Amen? Now, we hear his voice. We're not going to follow anybody else. See, true sheep truly follow, and the only way to keep hearing is to truly follow the Lord. See, if you let the shepherd, whenever the shepherd would get too far ahead of the sheep would be startled. They didn't know what to do. They're very timid animals. They're very stupid animals too. I'm not talking about you, of course. You know, no, I'm being honest. They are. They frighten so easily. A jackrabbit can stampede an entire flock of sheep. They're very, very skittish animals. And so, you know, the thing is to follow Jesus. We already know what that means. You know, Matthew 16, I think, 24, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, that means we follow the Lord. He is the good shepherd. He is our shepherd. Amen? Can you imagine why would we want to follow anyone else? We must always beware of the voice of the world. And I mean really beware. The voice of the world, you know, they may sound so appealing. Matter of fact, when we hear the voices of the world, we may say, you know what, that sounds like, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that and so forth, that even maybe it sounds logical. You remember that the voice of the world was condemning a man who was building an ark. His name was Noah. And they, for 120 years, condemned him, said he was nuts, said he was crazy. But you know what? It says, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Amen? And by faith, he condemned the whole world. How did he know to build an ark? He heard the voice of God. He followed the voice of God. And all the world, he proved the entire world wrong. All the world perished except for Noah and his family. You have to be very careful about the world. The world may sound good and say wonderful things, but you know what? If they don't line up with God's word, you better beware. Amen? Now, then it said in verse 7, and then Jesus said to meaning the religious rulers, he says, and he uses that word again, most assuredly, amen and amen, of a truth, I say to you, I am the what? The door of the sheep. I is emphatic there in the Greek, meaning there is no other door. I am the only door, and there is no other entrance into life, into liberty, into freedom. Absolutely none. Listen, no matter what other religions may say and do, no matter what they may teach, there is only one shepherd. Only one. There is only one door of the sheep. His name is Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no other. And Jesus told us in what? And he said, I am the way. In John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The Bible tells us in Acts 4:12 that there is no other name. He is the only name by which, or under heaven, by which a man can be saved. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, I believe it's 18, 13 or 18, right in that area, that only through him do we have access to God the Father. Only Jesus is our peace. Ephesians 2:14 or 2:11 or 2-something. It's 2:11, I think. He himself, no other, he himself and only Jesus is our peace. There is no other. And may I say to you, there is no other light in this world. John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. No matter how other people's lights, it may seem like they're shining brightly, or there is no other light, and there's no other way to get to God except by faith in Jesus Christ. Absolutely none. So that's what it means when he says, I am the door, meaning I'm the only door. He's speaking to the religious rulers, the ones he came to save, the ones who are supposed to be representing God. And all who ever came before me, look again, are thieves and robbers. And he's speaking now to the leaders of Israel, but the sheep did not hear him. Now, verse 1 told us that the religious rulers were thieves and robbers, and they climbed up some other way. In other words, they didn't go through the door. And the reason is because they came through by deceit. They wanted to climb up another way. They're false shepherds, and you know what they do? They steal sheep. But the true sheep never follow them, because they do not follow, again, a voice of a stranger. They only follow the Lord. And Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. That means kept safe and kept sound. And I love this. He will go in and he will go out and find pasture. This is one of the greatest promises in the Gospel of John. You know, I'll never forget, you know, I know I've shared this story with you probably 100 times, but many years ago, Rebecca and my wife and I, when we lived in Las Vegas, we attended Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas there. We had I think it was called Camelot. And it was a place where we both would go work out. And she worked out during the day. I worked out in the evening because I worked the evening shift. She worked the days and so forth. To make a long story short, I'd go in there, you know, and work out. And I was on the bicycle, man, and I was warming up. You know what I mean? But, you know, the people that worked out there, a lot of the people were like acrobats that performed in the shows and so forth. I never forget the first time I saw this one guy hit. Looked like a lion tamer, man. And he smiled, and his teeth were like the refrigerator, you know. But I was on my bicycle warming up and so I could go lift those weights. You know what I'm saying? And I looked over there, and there was these two young guys, and they were looking at themselves in the mirror. You know how you grease yourself all up, you know? No, they were greasy, man, and there were all these mirrors, and they were looking at their muscles in the mirror. I'm going, what kind of thing is this, you know? And they were flexing them, and then they were making their chest boom, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm just sitting there warming up, you know, just minding my own business, and as the Lord is my witness, He spoke these words to me. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, go over and tell those two boys, young men, they were probably 19, 20, whatever they were. He said, go over and tell them that today is the day of their salvation. And tell them that when they come in, they'll find pasture, and when they will go out, and they'll find pasture. And I said, Lord, I haven't even made out a will. I mean, listen, these guys were huge. I'm not talking about a bunch of sissies like me. They were built. I mean, even they walked. They couldn't even walk. Their muscles were so big. So the Lord told me twice, I finally got off my bike, you know, went over there and I said, well, I'm getting ready to meet my maker. And so I walked up to him. I said, hey, my name is Bill. I said, I work out here. And he shook my hand and so forth. And I said, listen, I'm a Christian. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said today, he said, he's a door. And I said, if you want to enter in and be saved, that you can today. And when you come in, you'll find pasture. When you go out, you'll find pasture. And then I just kind of closed my eyes because I knew I was getting ready to be beat to death. And they just stopped. I'll never forget it. One was a dark-headed fellow. I think his name was Kevin. I can't remember the other one. Kenneth or something. And one was a blonde. Anyway, so they said, well, what do we do? And I said, pardon me? You know, I mean, I was ready now. You know, I was in the mirror with them. You know what I mean? And I looked right at them and I said, you be at my house at 6:00. And I said, here's my address. You come. And I said, I'll tell you. So I didn't figure they were going to really show up. Becky, she comes home. I come home. They knock on the door. This is the truth. These guys are gigantic. I'm not kidding you. I mean, they're huge. And they walk in and they're wearing those sissy, the tightest shirt that you can wear, the tightest pants. I mean, I'm being honest. I know that some of you probably do that, don't you? You know? I know if you've seen, you know, Nacho Libre, sometimes men wear stretchy pants. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, they did. They knocked on the door, they came, and they were all, I mean, they were ready. You can ask my wife, she's sitting right back there. Listen, they came in, and they walked into the living room. They fell down on their knees immediately, just like that, and started weeping. I couldn't believe it. I led them right there to Jesus Christ, took him back down to Camelot and baptized him in the workout pool. You know what I'm saying? Isn't God good? And you know what? One of them came and in the muscle thing or whatever. He was Mr. Teenage America. You know, you never know what God is going to do. Amen. But you know, here, Jesus is the only door, but not just for a few people, not just for Israel. He says, I'm the door for anyone who wants to enter. Now listen, the sheepfold didn't have any doors. The shepherd slept in front of the door. Animals tried to get in, wolves or maybe the thieves and the robbers and so forth. That's why they had to climb up some other way, is because a shepherd would sleep right there in the doorway and he would protect them. But to the Jew, when Jesus said that those who go in and go out will find pasture, they knew immediately what he was saying. Jesus was telling them, he was saying to the Jew, when you come in and go out, you're going to have absolute safety, for I am the door of the sheep. I am your protector. I am your shepherd. Matter of fact, you're going to have perfect security. You have absolutely nothing to ever fear, for I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Remember, the psalmist has written in Psalm 121, verse 8, it says, the Lord shall preserve your going in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Do you want to know, Christian, how long God is going to give you security of your going out and your coming in? Well, from this time, from right now, until the very end of time. Amen? That is perfect safety. Listen, have you finally come to the point where you realize that no weapon formed against you will really ever prosper? It may seem like it's going to prosper, but it won't. Have you come to the realization that no enemy can truly destroy you? None. You know, when you read Romans chapter 8, 35 and following, what does it say? It says, neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor is there are things created, the sword, all it goes all the way through. He says, nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For we are more than conquerors through him. Amen. We don't have to worry about fear. We don't have to worry about any of those things. Every decade of your life, there's going to be different things that come into your life. When you're in your young years, like your 20s and so forth, you don't worry about anything. When you get, you know, into the, well, now that I'm 45, you have to start thinking about planning ahead. And come on, man, that's the only joke I have. No, listen, every decade you have, and we don't need to fear. Well, Bill, how about my retirement? He's your retirement. Amen. Jesus is our portion. Amen? He's the one who provides. It's not General Motors or whoever you work for. They're not our providers. No, listen, he's going to preserve us. He's going to keep us. Matter of fact, look down at where is it at? 27, isn't it? Let's look here. Yeah, listen to this. My sheep hear my voice. That's us. I know them, and they follow me. Now, watch this. He gives us eternal life. Oh, and they shall never what? Perish. Neither shall anyone. Now you put a definition on anyone, put any word you want there. Anyone will be able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Man, we are safe. That's why, remember back, oh, I don't know if it was last year or it may have been just a few months ago. I don't really remember now, but remember I preached on the Lord's Supper and the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And how I was talking about how to pray those two things. You know, one is personal, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, is corporate, our Father. One is a corporate prayer, one in a sense is a private prayer. Listen, the Good Shepherd is our shepherd. And the Bible said, just like David, in Psalm 23:1, it says, the Lord is my, it's personal. The Lord is my what? And listen to the promise that God has given us. I shall not what? Want. That word literally means I shall not lack for anything. You know why? He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He knows what we need. He always knows what we need. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who tends me, cares for me. He's the one that makes sure if I get in trouble, he comes to rescue me because I'm a sheep. And sheep are easily led astray. Sheep are dumb. Dumb. Sheep, they do dumb things. Because that's why it says we like sheep are led astray there in Isaiah 53:6. We're so easily led astray, prone to wander, as the song has said. Listen, he watches over me. And not only that, he maketh me lie down in what? green pastures. Man, that's a fruitful place. Whenever one pasture runs out, you notice it says plural. When one pasture runs out, there's another pasture that he's going to lead me to. He leads me beside what? Still waters, not troubled waters. Did you know that a sheep, they're terrified to cross over the waters? It has to be non-troubled. I've read stories in history, Bible history, about shepherds that they would not cross the water. And so what the shepherd would do, because the shepherd would always go before the sheep, he would pick up a little lamb, one of the little lambs, and he would carry the lamb across the stream that was running. And the sheep, of course, once the mom saw that her little lamb was over there with the shepherd, the mom would come. And when the mother came, all the rest of the sheep would cross as well. It's amazing to really study out sheep and to know what they do. But you know what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. I really believe that with all my heart. He leads me beside still waters. He restores, or he revives my soul. Oh, when you're worn out and you're tired and you just say, God, I'm just so tired of it all. Jesus said, listen, I know your mind is weary. He says, but you know what? I'll give you whatever you need to restore that. He says that he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to earn it, that it has been freely bestowed upon us because Jesus paid for our sin? He died in our place. Amen. He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? My shepherd is with me. Amen. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Did you know the Bible says in Psalm 48, something, 16, 14, 13, right there someplace, that God is our guide unto death. Well, if he is our guide unto death, it means to be our guide, he has to be what? Leading us. You know, when we finally pass away, this earth, there's going to be, I believe, with all of my heart, a conversation. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There's going to be that conversation. Hey, Bill, in other words, here's one of my sheep. You know, let me tell you what my name, my nickname I called you. No, listen, God is so good. You know, when that final day comes, man, we have nothing to fear. He goes on in there of talking about, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It says, you anoint my head with what? Oil. My cup runneth over. It says, for goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever and ever and ever and ever. Why? Because he is our good shepherd, and we have entered into by the door, and he is the door. We are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that he is taking care of us. God's love and goodness are in hot pursuit of you all the days of your life. But look at verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill or slaughter and destroy. You see, the religious rulers were just like the devil, the wicked one. And it says, but Jesus said, I have come, or literally, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or literally, as one translator said, to your wildest dreams. You know, the thieves and the robbers, the religious rulers, those that he's talking about, the sheep stealers. Do you know how a thief and a robber would get into the sheepfold? They couldn't go through the door because the shepherd was there. They would climb over another way, and see, they couldn't take a sheep out. And the reason is the sheep would only follow the voice of the shepherd. So do you know how they got the sheep? Well, first of all, in order to steal it, they were going to have to do something. They climbed over, they slit the throat of the sheep, and then they threw the sheep over the sheepfold wall. That's what they did. Because, see, the sheep would not follow a voice of a stranger. They flee. Matter of fact, even today, I'm not talking about Texas stuff. I'm talking about back then. Not sheepdogs, none of those things. I'm talking about whenever, you know, the shepherd. Man, listen, he would lead them and guide them. And he would, if they were going too far ahead, you know what the shepherd would do? He carried a sling with him, and he would throw that rock through the sling, and it would just barely miss the nose of the sheep and hit right in front of him. That sheep would turn around and come back into the fold. You know, Jesus knows exactly what we need. But the reason that they had to kill the sheep is because the sheep wouldn't follow them. They didn't know their voice. So they were, well, they didn't love the sheep. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and all the rest of them. They didn't, the religious rulers, they didn't love the sheep at all. Remember what it says in Luke's gospel? It says in Luke 16, 14, that the Pharisees, that they were lovers of what? Lovers of money. Boy, Jesus condemned them like never before. You're a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You're full of dead men's bones and so forth. He told them in Matthew 23, 14, Jesus said this, "Woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Here it comes. For you devour or forcefully appropriate. For you devour widows' homes, and for a pretense or for you pretending, you make long prayers, therefore you'll receive the greater condemnation." So these guys, instead of helping widows, they devoured widows. They came in and took everything that they can. They used religion, like some do today, unfortunately. They used religion to steal from the people. The religious rulers were bad shepherds, but Jesus is the good shepherd. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says, and the good shepherd does something. He gives his life on behalf of the sheep. He takes our place. He paid our penalty and our sin. And it says, it doesn't say there that I am a shepherd, okay? It says, I am shepherd. In the Greek, it would be, I am shepherd, the good. And when it says good, what does that mean? He's just a good person? No. Listen, our good shepherd, the word good there means beautiful. He is beautiful, isn't he? He's beautiful. Noble, the word means noble. It means moral. It means worthy. It means excellent on every level. It means always good, preeminently excellent, the premier one, the one who is above all shepherds. That is our Lord. Did you know he's mankind's shepherd, isn't he? Not just Israel. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." No, listen, but we're the sheep of his pasture. But a hireling, watch that, he who is not the shepherd. Hirelings are not shepherds, okay? He's one who doesn't own the sheep. Look what happens. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches, literally that word is snatches away, same word used in verse 28. The wolf catches the sheep, and he does what? Scatters them. They scatter sheep. The good shepherd gathers sheep, okay? Listen, they were hirelings. You know what that meant? They were, okay, we're paying you. You're just a bunch of hirelings. You don't love the sheep. You don't have any concern for the sheep. They were sheep stealers, again. That's all they were. The good shepherd, he owns us. He's purchased us with his own blood. And the hireling runs away or flees because he's a hireling, and he does not what? He doesn't care about the sheep. But God cares. Do you know God cares about everything that you do? 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you." The religious rulers, the hirelings, if you will, listen, did they care about the man that was 38 years in suffering an infirmity at the pool of Bethesda? No. Did they care about the woman caught in adultery? No. Did they care about the man born blind? No, religion doesn't care. Religion can't help you. Ezekiel, this was all prophesied, matter of fact. Ezekiel said this about the day that we're studying here in Ezekiel 34:1. Let me read it to you. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel," okay, the religious rulers, "and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" Boy, that's a true word of God, isn't it? That's what shepherds do. They feed. We feed the word of God to people. We don't fleece. It says, "Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat. You eat the good stuff. And clothe yourselves with wool, and you slaughter the fatlings," those well-fed sheep, "but you do not feed the flock." It's a terrible thing then and now when a shepherd looks upon the sheep of the pasture of God, upon the people, and looks upon them as a source of wealth to be exploited. Amen? What a horrible thing. Even Jesus, what did he say? You've turned my house into a house of merchandise. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. So they were fed upon. They were not being fed. And Ezekiel continues, God says, and the weak you've not strengthened, and you've not healed those who were sick, and you've bound up the broken, nor have you done that, nor have you brought back that which was driven away, nor sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. You know, that's a horrible thing. God knows the shepherds of Israel, what they were doing to the flock of God, and he knows what the shepherds today do to the flock. Amen? That's right. He sees. He knows, boy, and I tell you something, he cares. Sheep need to be cared for. They need to be cared for. You know, listen, sometimes they get in trouble. They're lost, like I told you earlier. You know, sheep need a shepherd. You know, if you look up that word shepherd, you know what it means? Let me read it to you. It means to feed. It means to guide. It means to guard. It means to pray. It means to watch over. And that, let me tell you what that means. It means it is a never-ending task. I believe if I had my way, which I don't, but if I did have my way, every Christian would be forced. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, not forced. Forced. Every Christian would be forced to pastor a church for 6 months. Yeah. Every Christian, you're going on the job training for 6 months. And do you know what they would do? They would never again cut down their pastor, beat up their pastor. They would be, number one, they would be givers. Number two, they would be prayers. Number three, they would be the greatest encouragers in the church. Why? Because I went through 6 months of hell, you know. You know what I mean? I'll never want to be a pastor. Why would anybody want to be a pastor? Amen. No, listen. That's the way I look at it. Remember what Jesus said there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35? You know, when he was out there in the fields and he went through all the cities and all the villages and he was teaching in the synagogues and he was preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And it says this, he healed every sickness. He healed every disease among the people. Everyone was well. Not one sickness, not one disease. And Jesus, though, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was broken in his heart. And he tells us why. As he looked out, he says, because they are weary. In other words, that word, if you looked it up in the Greek, it means they are beaten down. They are literally worn out. They are exhausted. And they are scattered. They're bewildered. They don't know which way to go. He says, they're like sheep having no shepherd. Do you know something? Nothing has changed. That is still the way it is today. There are so many wandering, exhausted sheep in this world. And you know what? They need the true shepherd. They need the good shepherd. Amen? Now look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know, intimately know. In other words, this speaks of a deep relationship. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, meaning not of Israel, them I what? I must bring, that divine must, and they will hear my voice, and there will be only what? One flock and one shepherd. Now we all know who the other sheep are. Amen? That's us, the church. It's the Gentiles. It's the other nations. You know, Jesus died for the world. There's going to be one flock. There's going to be one shepherd, and that shepherd is Christ Jesus. Amen? So there's Jew and Gentile and people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. But you know what's wonderful about this, this amazing truth? When Jesus said this, he was saying it before it ever happened. He was saying, listen, they're out there right now. There are people even right this minute that haven't come through the door, meaning Christ. They're out there right this minute, and God is waiting on them to come in, and there's only one way they're going to come in, you and me. You see, the Bible says, Jesus said, my sheep hear. They have ears to hear. My sheep hear my voice, and here it is, and they follow me. In other words, when Jesus says, go into all of the world, we should what? Go. Why? Well, we're sheep. We don't follow the voice of a stranger. If you hear a voice that says, oh, don't go into all the world, don't serve, don't find your gift, don't do this, that is not the voice of our Savior, amen? That is the voice of a stranger. And sheep, true sheep, do not follow that. Therefore, for this reason, literally, my Father loves them. I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down myself. I have the power, or literally, I have the authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus here speaks of his death as already past and his resurrection as an already accomplished fact. He never doubted for a moment. See, he is in complete control of his destiny. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews and because of these sayings. So that division, meaning some were sheep, some were not sheep, and so forth. And it says, and many of them said, well, about Jesus, well, he has a demon, or he's demon-possessed, or he's mad or insane. And why do you listen to him? And others said, well, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You know, when you think of the million and millions of lives that have been changed since this was written, how could anyone think Jesus a liar or a madman? Amen? You know, Barclay said this, Jesus brought into the world not a deluded madness, but the perfect sanity of God. You know, in verse 11, if you look back there again, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I'm above anyone who calls himself a shepherd. I am preeminently excellent. I am all good, perfectly good. I never do anything but good. You know, the Word of God tells us in Psalm 119:68, you are good, speaking about God, and you do good. Psalm 52:1 says, the goodness of God endures continually. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power in the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Everything God does is good. No matter what we've faced, no matter what we're going through, you know, sometimes the trials that we go through, we think this is horrible, but God says, no, this is what you need. This is good. This is the only way you're going to grow up. This is the only way you're going to mature. You know, is that not true? Yes, sometimes we go through hard times, folks, but you know what? They grow us up. I promise you, my wife and I would never change one thing about what God has taught us all of these years, especially if we go back to the very early years of our ministry when we were pastoring another church. Man, listen, we wouldn't take for those years, even though they were hard. And we, at that time, because of my own immaturity, I thought God was hated me or exiled me or something. But no, God was training us. Why? He loves us. Sometimes sheep need to be trained. Why do you think the shepherd has a staff? You know what I mean? The Word of God says in Psalm 31:19, listen to this translation. How great is your goodness? You've stored it up. God's goodness, you've stored it up for those who fear you. You do good things for those who trust you. You do this for all to see. The goodness of God is more than just, okay, my theology is right, God is good. No, no, no. The goodness of God is something that is stored up waiting for you to experience. Amen? He's the good shepherd. You remember there the parable, I know it's time to leave, I just need a couple of minutes here, but listen. You remember the parable that Jesus spake there in Luke 15 when he was talking about the parable of the lost sheep, and he said this. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost, listen carefully, until he finds it? Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the determined shepherd. Amen. Listen, Jesus cannot rest. When one of the sheep is not in the sheepfold, when he's out and he's lost and he's wandering, if you're a sheep of God, listen to me. I'm telling you something. He cannot rest. He cannot return to the 99. He cannot do it. He's saying, my sheep, one of my sheep, these are safe, but there's one of my sheep. He's out there. She's out there. And he or she is lost. See, he knows something that we don't know very well today. And that is a sheep that is not in the sheepfold among the flock of God is helpless. Helpless. Oh, man, listen. You know why? See, people are not like, in other words, sheep, listen, a dog or a cat, you know, a dog or a cat, they have, I guess, a homing thing. Do you understand? I mean, we've all read stories of dogs that got lost and cats that got lost, and they traveled across America, and they went back home and found their owner. Amen? We've all read stories of that. Sheep can't do that. Sheep have no homing device. Once they get out of the flock, Jesus knows they're totally at lost, and the only way they can get back home. Now listen, the only way that a lost sheep can get back home is for the shepherd to go and find you. There's absolutely no other way. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you know what? You say, oh, Bill, that's me. You know what? I have wandered away from the flock of God. Well, you know what? The shepherd, the good shepherd, he wants to bring you home. He wants you connected again. He wants you committed again. He doesn't want you wandering across this world. He wants to use you. You know, one of my favorite verses where it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker, for he is God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The sheep of his hand. See, no one can snatch you out of his hand. Amen. It goes on. The psalmist has written in Psalm 95. It says, today, not tomorrow, today, do not harden your heart. Isn't that amazing? He's talking to sheep. He says, you need to come back. You know, one day the chief shepherd, you see, there's the good shepherd, there's the chief shepherd, and there is the great shepherd. The good shepherd is the one who gives his life for the sheep. The great shepherd is the one who is raised from the dead for the sheep. But the chief shepherd, according to 1 Peter, 5, 4, wherever, it says when the chief shepherd appears, that's the rapture of the church. You understand? See, one day the chief shepherd is going to come for us, and he's going to take all of the sheep and gather us into that one sheepfold forever and ever. And ever and ever. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the day that you've given us. And Lord God, if there's any sheep of your pasture, here they are this morning. I know there's no one listening online because we're not online. But Lord, just these people, my brothers, my sisters, the people that are present. Lord, if they're out there lost and wandering, I know that you found them. And I pray at the end of this service that they will come down to this altar where there'll be men and women that will love them and pray for them and help them in whatever they're facing. Now, Lord, we love you, and we do indeed know with all of our heart that you're not only the good shepherd, you're not only the great shepherd, but in truly, O Lord, you're the chief shepherd, and we look for your appearing. Bless your people now. Bless this day. And may they come from the north, south, and east, and west for the next service. And Lord, may many lost come here. And may they be found and saved. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, loved one. We're going to close out. Amen. Jeff is going to close us out.
Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
And I love him so. I love him so.
I love him so.
He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Want to make sure you greet one of those you depart. I'm going to be departing to the main lobby over to the visitor center. If this is your very first time to visit, then they have a gift waiting for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.